Who here likes a good story? I think we all do. You know, there's something about just either watching a good movie or reading a good book. You know, everybody gets engrossed into a good story. I myself am an action adventure guy. Do we have any action adventure people out there? We've got one. Two, how about romance? You know, the tearjerkers, you know, the life. Yeah, me too. You know, it's like romance. How about mystery and intrigue? Yeah, you know, whodunit, you know, Sherlock Holmes. You know, I love those, trying to figure out who it is. And what about comedy? Comedy's good. How about musicals? I love musicals. You know, we love The Music Man. You know, people think that's corny, or The Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, or Singing in the Rain. I don't know if you saw the title of my message. It's called "What Is Your Story?" And I've got a book that I've been reading. It's a fantastic book, filled with all sorts of cool things. It's got your romance. It's got your action, your battle scenes. There's death, murder, romance, betrayal, there's scandals, there's lions in it, there's even zombies. There's a little something for everybody. It's even got comedy. No, it's not The Princess Bride. Let me read a little excerpt of this book and see if you guys can tell me what it is. It's found in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 to 35. It says, "How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. And women received their loved ones back again from the dead." Well, that sounds like a pretty cool book, isn't it? And of course, you guys know we're talking about the Word of God. Still the number one best-selling book of all time. You know, it's got something for everybody in there. Great stories. And I believe that even though this book is complete in its stories, God is still writing more stories. He's writing the stories in our lives, in my life, in your life. Our stories are being written as we speak. Have you ever thought about that there's going to be some point in time where you're going to leave this earth and you actually may be sitting in this great hall of faith, this hall of faith chapter, sitting next to some of these heroes of the faith? Imagine, if you will, if you're sitting around listening to some of the stories. Perhaps Moses is talking about the time at the Red Sea, and you pick up the story. He's like, "The Egyptian army, they had us surrounded. Our backs were up against the wall, or back up against the Red Sea. And we're like, Lord, now what are we going to do? Did you bring us out here to die?" The next thing you know, the Red Sea parted. Water shot up, had to be close to 100 feet in the air. There were like walls of water on each side, and God brought us through safely to the other side. It was a miracle. Picture if you're sitting next to David. David's, you know, recounting the time when he was just a young boy. He says, "Yeah, it was just a little runt of the time, and I happened to be next to King Saul, and I heard this guy. He was a giant of a guy. In fact, this guy had to be close to maybe 10 feet tall. He had arms the size of tree trunks. This guy was built for battle, but he was taunting the Lord and taunting the Israelites, and I wasn't going to put up with somebody who was going to speak down to my Lord. I didn't care if I was just this little run of a guy. I could barely even hold, you know, my armor. But you know what I did? I said, you know what? This guy's going down. I'm going to pick up this shiny little stone. I'm going to write his name on it. I'm going to sling that around. I'm going to let that fly." And I did. And it smacked this guy right dead between the eyes. dropped that guy like a hot potato. Wow. Imagine that. And then maybe you hear Rahab. You remember her? She took in the two spies, right? She says, you know, here I am. I was standing out, looking over the window, and I was looking outside the city walls, and I could see the Israelites marching around the city. And they kept going around, around, around. Next thing you know, I heard this trumpet blast, and I heard the screams and shouts of the Israelites. And all of a sudden, the walls came crashing down. It was amazing. And I didn't get hurt. God had protected me. Why? All because I took a step in faith, and I trusted, and I took these men in and hid the spies. Praise be to the Lord. How about Radshak, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Imagine what they're saying. You know, it was amazing. There was this time where the king, you know, built this huge statue, and they wanted us to take and bow down to it. And we're like, you know what? No way. We are not bowing down to your God or to your statue. Said, the only one we're going to bow down to is the Lord, King of Kings, our God. That's all we'll bow down to. Well, that infuriated him so much that he said, you know what, you guys are going to go into a fire, and we're not going to be just any fire. We're going to make this furnace so hot that even the soldiers standing outside were burned alive. Well, wouldn't you know it, next thing you know, they threw us into this fire, and here we are, we're standing in the middle of this fire. Flames got to be 2,000 degrees, and we're not being singed, we're not being hurt. In fact, even our clothes didn't even smell like smoke. And the coolest thing of all, there was this fourth guy that was standing inside that fire. I knew that was the Lord himself, and he brought us through. He took care of us, and he brought us through the other side. Can you imagine some of these stories? How cool it will be, and I believe someday all of us will have the opportunity to be in that great hall of faith where we can sit and listen and recount the stories. And I'm believing that we too will have stories that we will be sharing. And that's kind of what I want to bring around to today, is that there's a story going on. In fact, God's writing a story in your life right now. He's working in you. He's moving you. He's orchestrating and doing what he does because he wants to make your story a Pulitzer Prize winner. He wants to make your story a bestseller. By the way, you know, if I'm saying anything, give me a wink, give me a smile, a nod, give me some feedback. Yeah, you know, a little something there would be good. Just know that you guys are still alive. Amen? Amen. You may say, well, wait a minute, Brian. Me going to be in the Hall of Faith? Me going to be telling some stories? No way. I say, yes way. Yes way. Don't look at these men and women of old as somebody set apart and special, right? They trusted in God, and they acted in faith, and God blessed them. If you're trusting in God this morning, and you're believing for him, you too can be in there. You know, we'll talk a little bit more about that. Well, wait a minute. I got problems. I'm dealing with struggles. You know, I'm dealing with my issues. You know what? All these men and women of old, they too dealt with problems. They too struggled. But they didn't keep their eye on the problem. They kept their eye on the problem solver. And that's for us. You know, for this morning, maybe you're dealing with some issues. Maybe you're dealing with some problems, your struggles. I think we all do. But the idea is that God wants to bring us from where we are to a greater place. He wants to bring us here to new heights. I believe God is a God of adventure, and God wants to write a story that is for the books. John Eldridge, who wrote Wild at Heart, I love his quote. I stand on this. It says, life is not a problem to be solved, but an adventure to be lived. And I find so many times the problem with today, and even with among Christians, is we're focusing too much on our problems. We're focusing on the issues at hand. Well, this is not right. Oh, it's raining. Oh, there's I missed my flight. I'll share that in a minute. There's always something going on. And the thing is, God doesn't want us to focus on the problem. He wants us to focus on the problem solver, which is Him. So a question I ask for you, when you leave this place and you get called home, what's your story going to be? You ever think about that? God's writing a story in each and every one of us right now, right? There's going to be victories and triumphs and falls and struggles and battles, but what's the story that God's going to write in you and use you to share with others? You ever think about that? Will it be maybe some of the giants that you've conquered in your time? Maybe it's not the 10-foot giant, but you know, we all have those giants in our life, the battles that we need to take down. Or what about the walls? You know, are there walls that you took down with the help of God that you can say, yeah, just like the walls of Jericho, these walls came down, maybe in family relations. Maybe these walls came down between a struggle that I had with my dad, perhaps. Or maybe you can recount and you'll be telling a story of how you went through a trial by fire. How you were in such turmoil and the flames were roaring, but God brought you through to the other side. Wow, what a story that would be. You know, there's all sorts of different stories. You may be a Sunday school teacher, and you're going to be able to recount, I'm looking at Harriet because it, you know, brings tears to my eyes when I think of it, how many years she served teaching these beautiful young children who are now, many of them are adults, and how she's going to be able to tell stories how these kids came to serve the Lord, and they went on to do great things. There is a hero. Maybe you're a mom raising a family, teaching these young ones to love the Lord. The stories are endless. Hebrews 12:2, it says, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is writing a story. He's writing your story. And I want to say that He's the author, but you're the co-author. You see, there's a partnership there. God's leading the way. He's making way the pathway, right? And He's saying, Karen, come on! John, let's go this way. And He wants us to bring us to great places. And we have that choice of saying yay or nay. He's calling for all of us to come out for the adventure. So I want to give you some tips that I've kind of picked up on how to write a good novel, how to write your story that God's got for you. I believe He wants to create a Pulitzer Prize winner. Sometimes we get writer's block, and so we don't know how to, you know, problem solve, or we get bogged down by some of the day-to-day things in life. And so let me share you a couple tips and ideas on it. First one is found in Colossians chapter 1, 15 to 17. And I love this because this is such a great picture of Christ being God in the flesh. Starting with 15, it says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through Him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through Him and for Him. He existed before anything else, and He holds all creation together. I want you to see here that God, Jesus, being the creator and sustainer of life. He's orchestrating, He's working, He's holding all things together. All things are working through Him and for Him. Amen? That's our author. It also goes on to say in Philippians 2:13, it says, it's for it's God who works in you and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So not only is Jesus the author of creation, but he's also the author of you and I, working and moving. So I want you to recognize that this first tip is that when something's happening, when you're hit against the wall or you can't move or can't do, recognize maybe there's something else happening. Recognize that maybe sovereign God is at work causing things to happen behind the scenes. And I'm thinking of a section in Acts chapter 16 where it says three times Paul and Silas were looking to go into this land to preach, and it was the Holy Spirit that stopped them from moving, right? So we recognize that there's it's not just about our will, but there's a sovereign God who's working and moving. So when we begin to understand it's not about you, as Rick Warren would say, it's about him, right? Proverbs 19:21 says, we make plans, but the Lord's purposes will prevail. You know, so when we're dealing with our situations and things aren't moving, recognize potentially it might be God at hand at working. I have a Yiddish proverb for you. My Yiddish is a little weak, so I'm going to explain it to you. In English, it says, we make plans, but God laughs. Sometimes I almost feel that way, right? You know, sometimes we're like, I got all these plans together. And in fact, each day I get up and I've got all my ducks in a row. Have you ever gotten up and nothing went well or went at all that day? You feel like, why did I even get out of bed? Why did I even make an effort? There's some days I can shoot swishes all day long. There's other days that I can't even hit the backboard, right? Same breakfast, same good night's sleep, got out the same way. We recognize that there's something bigger than us who's at work. So recognize God's in control. Next one, I want to tell you a little story. You know, years ago there was this clinical psychologist who was doing a study on just the personality of different people, and he brought these two boys in, and they were extreme differences in personality. One of them was an extreme pessimist, and his name was Michael, and there was an extreme optimist on the other, you know, and so they wanted to figure out, you know, just what's going on, how these kids work and think. So they took Michael, the pessimist, and they took and put him into this room, and this room was all by himself, but filled with all sorts of wonderful toys. They're shiny and new, and there's trucks and tractors and power tools, and it was stuffed animals there, and they put him in there, right? And they said, okay, Michael, we're going to be back in an hour. We'll check on you. And they took Billy, and they put Billy in this other room, and in this room, it was filled with horse manure. It was just from top to bottom horse manure and hay. And I said, okay, Billy, we're going to put you in here, and then we'll be back in an hour, right? So hour's up, they go back, they open the door up with Michael, and Michael's just kind of sitting around in the room. He's kind of standing, you know, sitting in the corner, not doing anything. You're like, Michael, what's going on? Why aren't you playing with these new toys? I mean, there are trucks and tractors and this and that. And he's like, well, you know, they're new and they're shiny, and you know, I didn't want to break them and scratch them, you know, and someone could get mad at me. I said, all right, well, let's see how Billy's doing. You know, they go into, you know, Billy's room. Billy's like, whoa, this is awesome! Woo! He's jumping around. He's throwing the horse manure up in the straw up, and they're like, Billy, what are you doing? It's horse manure. There's a straw. He goes, look, with all this horse manure, there's got to be a horse in here somewhere. Point is, it's all about your perspective and how you look at stuff. You may not be able to change your circumstances, but you can change your perspective. How you view things can have a huge outcome. Even in your adventure, you know, here you are, you're dealing with stuff, right? It's the difference of saying I am having a great day or I'm having a lousy day, all because of the way you look at it. Paul in Philippians 4 says, I've learned how to be content in all situations. We know this one. I've learned to be content whether it's little or much, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if you're looking to go to new heights, if you want to climb and you soar, remember this quote. I love this. It says, your attitude determines your altitude. Your attitude determines your altitude. That's how you look and perceive at everything. I like this. Another quote says, your mind can either be your greatest asset or your biggest liability. How true is that, right? Your mind is either your biggest or your greatest asset or your biggest liability. Watch how you think. Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to change the way we do things. We need to change the way we think. Okay, so we got two so far. One is recognize that God's in control. Two, change the way we think. Number three, we need to learn to adapt to our situation. Look, at a curveball can be thrown at you, and nothing you can do about it. There's days it's going to rain, right? What are you going to do about it? You going to mope about it, or are you going to put some rubber boots on and go jump into puddles, right? There's times where you get handed lemons. What do? You make lemonade, right? I don't know if you heard the expression, bend, don't break. Roll with the punches. Learn to make and adapt to the ever-changing environment. Me being in construction, anyone knows, that there's a constant changing. You're planning your day, and it's, we can't go that way. Nope, we got to go that way, and you just have to adapt to whatever circumstances there are. Okay? There's a story of a man was sitting on the edge of his bed observing his wife, looking at herself in the mirror. Since her birthday was not far off, he asked what she would like to have for her birthday. She goes, I'd like to be six again, she replied, still looking in the mirror. And on the morning of her birthday, he arose early, made her a nice big bowl of Lucky Charms, and then took her to Six Flags theme park. What a day! He put her on every ride in the park, the death slide, the wall of fear, the screaming monster roller coaster. Everything was there. 5 hours later, they staggered out of the theme park. Her head was reeling and her stomach felt upside down. He then took her to McDonald's where he ordered a Happy Meal with extra fries and a chocolate shake. Then it was off to a movie with popcorn and a soda pop and her favorite candy, which was M&M's. What a fabulous adventure. Finally, she wobbled home with her husband and collapsed into bed, exhausted. He leaned over to his wife with a big smile and lovingly asked, well, dear, what was it like to be six again? Well, her eyes just rolling, slowly opening up, she said, I meant the dress size. Only men, that one, right? I tell the story, though, but there's something, I will say, though, there's something about being like a child. There's something, there's a gift of being young and having a carefree life where you're not caught up with the concerns of the world. You're looking at adventure at every corner. I think of two movies. The Sandlot is one of them. Everybody remember that one? They hit the kids playing baseball, hit the ball over the fence, and now they set out to get the ball from this big, huge dog. The other one, I'm thinking of Stand By Me, another adventure one. But there's something about the boys and girls dreaming big. They're pretending. They're seeing life with a different set of eyes. And that's kind of what I'm thinking of when I read in the book of Proverbs, one of my favorite books, and chapter 30. The writer of Proverbs is kind of the same way. He says here in verse 18, he says, there are three things that amaze me. No, four things that I don't understand. How an eagle glides through the sky. How a snake slithers on a rock. And how a ship navigates the ocean, and how a man loves a woman. You see, the writer is looking at the world with a sense of wonder, a sense of amazement and curiosity. And sometimes what happens is as we get older, we lose that. And it's good to have that sense of wonder, to go back to that youthful, playful spirit, and you live in a life where it's curious, it's exciting, it's adventuresome. Okay, we've got a couple more minutes here. We're doing really good. Thanks for staying with me. All right, so we've got so far, what we learned? We got, God is sovereign, God's in control. Change your thinking, adapt your situation, have a youthful spirit about you. Okay, number five, change things up. Routines are good, and sometimes we need to do things differently, though. And, let's face it, the variety is the spice of life. I read this, another quote, I've got quotes all day long here. Your mind is like a parachute. It works best when open, right? Change things up. Be open-minded to do different things. It's so easy. Well, this is the way I always do it. This is the way next time you're going to have a cheeseburger, throw a fried egg on it. What? A fried egg? Try it. My daughter, said, Dad, you're going to like this, and once you know it, change the way you direct you go to work or go to church. Take a different route. Take the long way home. You'd be surprised when you start to make little subtle changes how that can make a difference. Right, here's one for you. This is a big one. Step out of your comfort zone. Ooh, wait a minute. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing to be different and say, okay, I'm going to put an egg on a burger. But another thing, if you hear the Spirit of God prompting you to say, you know what, I want you to go over and to pray for that person. Whoa, wait a minute, I don't even know that person. What if? This is where the adventure happens, right? When God says, I want you to go here. What if David never said yes, right? Saying yes to Jesus. In fact, here's a challenge for you. Next time you see, a bunch of biker guys, go up to the biggest, scariest biker dude and say hello. See where it takes you, right? For some people, just saying hello to anybody can be difficult. But how about going up and saying hello? You'd be surprised where that adventure takes you to. And you know what? You realize that some of those guys are big teddy bears. They're the friendliest, warmest, loving people. Share Jesus, right? All right, so let's bring this to a close. And Karen, I'm going to ask that you come on up and just play a little music. And, we want to continue on in ministry here. We want to be able to, I'm going to ask the prayer team, ministry team, the leaders to come up so we can pray. So here is it in a nutshell. God's writing a story, and you are in it. And he wants to do great things in you and through you, right? And you may say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. I don't like to call myself parent. Wait a minute, Brian. But you don't know the things that I've done. You don't know the places that I've been. You don't know some of the decisions that I've made. I've screwed up. My story's over with. No, it's not. No, it's not. God's not done with you. It's not over to the blank person sings, right? No. It's not over until God says it's over. And God's not through with you yet. He says the work that he began, he's going to complete it. Amen? This is an opportunity for you to say, okay, yes, I want to be a part of the story that God's writing for me, and I want more of him. Come up. We're going to pray with you. Maybe this is the opportunity to say, look, I'm going to put my banner in the ground and say, from this point forward, I am going to follow him. We want to pray for you. Maybe you're struggling in some areas where you're just having difficulties trying to get through some of your problems, and you're just looking at the problem and you're having a difficulty seeing God in the middle of it. We want to pray for you as well. And maybe you just want to come up just for prayer. We want to pray with you. Whatever the case is, God wants to make you guys a Hall of Famer. He wants to do great things in you, right? And he doesn't want to have it be that you're stuck in a rut. You're stuck in your little place where you can't get out of. He wants to bring you to a greater place. You know, we've only got one opportunity in this life. Make that story a great one. Don't let the devil say that you can't have a great life regardless of what your past is. Amen. So I just want to just encourage, if there's anybody who would like prayer, we are here for you. And then if not, we'll be up here, you know, for the duration. Okay? Let me close in prayer. So Father God, we just thank you for today. Today absolutely is the day that you've made, and we do rejoice in it. We rejoice, Father, because you are working and you are orchestrating and you are causing all things to work for your purpose and for your good pleasure. Lord, we want to be a part of that story that you're writing. And so, Lord, would you do a work in our lives? Would you do a work in my life? Father, help me to step out of my comfort zone and take a step and a leap of faith to say yes to the next thing that you're calling for me to do. Help me, Father, to keep me from focusing on my problem, but help me to focus on the problem solver. That's you. Father, change my perspective. Change the way that I think and look at things and see that the glass is not half empty, but it's actually overflowing. It's more than full, Father. It overflows because of you. And Father, help me to have childlike faith, trusting in you at every turn. So Father, I pray your blessing over each person here as they go, that you would just be with them this week. Encourage them. And Father, I pray specifically for each person here that you would give them an opportunity to share the hope that lies within them to those around them. Give them the courage to take a step in faith to tell somebody about the love of Jesus. Give them the courage to take a step in faith to pray for somebody. Give them the courage to say yes. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. And we ask your blessing as we part. Bring us back again, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Great to see you guys.